Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Fuchina Kirkendall and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. But, you know, I don't start the show off without prayer, so let's just go right into it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, you are worthy. You are worthy to be praised, and I just can't stop thanking you. Thank you for all your grace, all your mercy and unconditional love. Thank you for just coming and healing my body as you continuously do it. Thank you for just showing me who you are and who I am in you. Lord, just holding on to your unchanging hands. And as I just ask you, just forgive me of any of my sins, thought, word, and deed. I thank you for all those who are listening and those who are tuning in and those who will be listening by way of demand. I thank you for listening for those who will be on the show tonight and those who are listening to the show tonight. Lord, thank you. I give you the honor and the grace. I thank you for their families, my family. I thank you for our friends and even our enemies, Lord, because it is them that keep our faith sharpened and keep our mind focused on you. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, I ask you to decrease me, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in tonight. I ask you to just whatever I say, whatever I do, that it is a reflection of you, Lord. And Lord, as we move forward tonight, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. So all I want to say is I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. You know, I was recapping and just thinking the other night with everything I've gone through for the past two weeks. Ended up in the hospital. I've had some unexpected deaths. Within 1 week, I've had 3 people near and dear to me passed away. And throughout it all, God is still faithful and he is still. I was just having a reflection moment. And I was just thinking about, even if for some reason death just brings out the ugliness in people, if we allow it. But just saying, I've learned when you stay focused, you know, and keep your mind and your eyes set on God, you won't go wrong. But I was going down memory lane. I keep going back to that. I'm going down memory lane. And do you ever find yourself in a position where no matter what you do, you always find yourself having to explain yourself? I was reading a devotion by Joel Osteen, and it talked about he is our defender, or defending ourselves. And it talks about how when Jesus was on earth, and he talks about how he was lied on, how he was ridiculed, how people falsely accused him and everything. And I was like, wow, that sounds like my life. You know, no matter what you do or what you say, people are just going to be people. And I just thought about that. You know, when I got to a point where I stopped defending myself and allow God to come in and just be my vindicator, I learned that I was saving myself a lot of stress. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I had to learn my self-worth and realize that I'm not what people or what people say about me, and I can't help what people think about me. I just have to know who I am and whose I am and know that I'm going to be all right. So the title tonight is, you know, I'm tired of defending myself. I'm done. I'm done with it. And so that's what we're going to talk about, you know, securing our self-worth. How do we do that? What is that all about? You know, what is that really all about? Now, normally I would have my Google, but I don't have my Google tonight. So y'all just have to bear with me. Because normally I have my definition. I don't have it. I feel like my pants is caught down with all that's going on. But I'll get it before tonight is over with. But when I think about my self-worth, what I have to think about is where was I before and where I am now. And before I didn't know who I was and whose I was, meaning I became what anyone thought of me. That included family, friends, anything, because I didn't know who I was. So if someone told me I was unattractive, I believed that I was unattractive. If someone said, well, someone said so-and-so, and even if it wasn't true, because I didn't know my worth within myself, I just got tired of defending myself, and I just became whatever. And that's, you know, that's sad to say, but you all know that I'm always a fishbowl, so I can just be honest with and give you my truth. And the truth of the matter is, as I got older, and I'm not talking older as in this happened when I was a teenage kid, as in when I got older and wiser. I didn't get wiser until after maybe my late 30s, early 40s. I'm now 49, so I've gone through a lot. But once you gain that self-worth of yourself, knowing who you are and whose you are, there is nothing like it. I think that in this lifetime that I'm living now at the age of 40 and going in my 40s and headed towards my 50 years, I have matured so much in my lifetime. I've matured so much in my lifetime. So let me go do the housekeeping really quick, because I just got right into it and didn't even bother to tell you the housekeeping. But thank you for tuning in tonight. If you know anyone that could be blessed by this ministry, please, please, by all means, have them call in or log in. The link is definitely on the Facebook page, Chronicles of a Fondle Woman, and this on my personal page, and it's also on the Chronicles of the Fondle Woman page. And also, they can tune in by calling in area code 914-338-1552. Once again, that number is 914-338-1552. I really appreciate the fact that you all email me. Very, very appreciative. I'm so appreciative. I say it so much because I'm so humbled when I get it and when I get the response from everyone. I really appreciate you all in that. So I'm sorry if I seem a little off. Thank you, love. If I seem a little off, and you know, I always have someone who's always right on time. I love you very, very much, because you know I was already on it too. So I just want to get into a definition. So if I seem a little off, you know, I'll have my phone close to my mouth. That's usually what it is. So if you can't hear me, just shoot me a text. So it indicates self-worth, and let me go into it right now, and the definition of self-worth, because it really ties into what we're talking about. And according to dictionary.com, self-worth is described as the sense of one's own value or worth as a person, self-esteem, self-respect. I'll say that again. Self-worth is the sense of one's own value or worth as a person, self-esteem, self-respect. Now, that's a mouthful, and it ties into what we're talking about tonight. Now, if you can't hear me, make sure it out there for me, but I'm going to put the phone back to my ear. Now, I do ask you all, let me go back to my housekeeping real quick. So for those of you that reach me on email, you can email me at C as in Charlie, OAFwoman@gmail.com. Once again, that's C as in Charlie, OAFwoman@gmail.com. And those of you all who are interested in who are listening in or interested in sharing a comment, you're more than welcome to just, you know, shoot me a text at 678-87-9441 and just say, chime me in, and I'll be more than happy to acknowledge it, and I will definitely chime you in. Also, if you just want to share a comment, but you just don't want to be on the air, and that's fine too. Just say, just share, and then make sure you shoot your text. So that's how we're doing it tonight. So let's go back to talking about, you know, I'm tired of defending myself. Now, personally, myself, after a while, I do get tired of things. I don't know about you all, but self-worth, self-respect, self-esteem, those are things I really learned to come into growing up, not in my teenage years, not in my 20s, and not even maybe my my 30s. Well, I'll say maybe late 30s, because that's the last round time frame I got divorced. But as I got older and the more I matured, that is when I started learning my self-worth of who I am and who I was. And I know a lot of that came from being violated as a child, because when you've been violated or you've been a survivor or even a victim of abuse, your whole perspective of life is altered in such a dramatic way because you're traumatized. And if you don't get help for it, if you don't seek some type of, or even acknowledge it, you know, it will manifest, and you could bury it like I tried to do it, but you can't bury it. You can put dirt all over it, but guess what? It's going to sprout. Those roots are going to start spreading, and, you know, you just become into something that you can't help. You don't feel that nothing's wrong on the inside, but on the outside, you're projecting something you don't want to project. And for me, I've always been told when I was in school, I have a very sharp tongue. And as I got older and I talked to my classmates now, I always told them it was a defense mechanism because I refused to allow anyone to violate me any longer. I was not going to allow anyone to violate my space, to come in within my proximity without my permission. You weren't going to do that to me anymore. And that was mine. Going back into what the subject is, and I'm tired of defending myself. You know, you had to get to a point where when you get to your truth, because you get to a point because everyone knows you're right from you're wrong. And sometimes people have a tendency of trying to make you go back to things you have no business going back into. So we're going to talk about a lot of that tonight, and I have some ladies that will be helping me with me tonight, and you know, you all know my faithful sidekicks, my Roxanne and also my Miss Barbara. I love them so much, so we're going to do something a little different tonight. I'm actually going to bring them all on there tonight. We're going to do something a little different. I'm going to start with Miss Roxanne. Thank you for chiming in. You know, I appreciate you. Welcome to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome. So as you said, as you listened to him in the beginning, because I was all over the place trying to get the introduction in, you know, just tired of defending myself. You know, sometimes people will start, you know, it's just like Jesus. I have to use Jesus as the platform because everyone, I mean, he was the only perfect person that was on this earth, but they judged him, they criticized him, they ridiculed him, and he did nothing. You know what? Before I get started, I'm also going to bring Barbara on the line with me as well. I want to make sure that Barbara is here. Barbara, are you here?
Hey, beautiful woman.
Hey. So I have all three of us. So I have my ladies on the line. I want to thank you all so much. This is going to be an interesting show because you all keep it real. You all, we all share common denominators in so many ways. But I was just saying, you know, I have to use Jesus as my example because he was the only perfect person that walked on this earth. And he didn't raise his voice. I mean, the only time he kind of went off is when he was in the temple and he had to use the whip. But that was, you know, that's the only time he went there. But other than that, you know, he was misunderstood. He was lied on. He was falsely accused. He was everybody thought everything but, you know, what they should have been thinking about him. Well, those who did, I'll say that, because a lot of people knew that he was the Messiah. You know, that conflict between God and then, you know, now you're saying you got this only one God, blah, 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 blah. But the point is paralleling it to people. You know, I just personally myself had to deal with that. Heck, I still deal with it. You know, I'm not going to stress myself over foolishness no more. If you want to believe that, I'm going to leave you in your thoughts. Roxanne, I'll start with you. Your thoughts.
Well, when you were talking, there was like two different things that came to mind. The first was I had to realize that some people want to believe the bad in you. Like, I went through something in my life and something was said about me. It wasn't true. And I had people that I thought were my friends were kind of passing this information around. And I was like, wait a minute, you know me better than that. Like, how could you go along with that? But it just seemed like people like gossip and they just wanted it to be truth. I guess because, let me see how I can say this. Being a humble person, I'm not perfect by far, but there's just things I don't do. You know what I'm saying? Like out of my character. And it just seemed to me like people like to say, told you so. Oh, yeah, you thought she was good, but she did this, that, and the third. Like, that's one of the things I thought mm-hmm. about, just because it seemed to me that people kept approaching me. Oh, yeah, so-and-so said this. And I had a moment where God was like, just don't defend yourself. So I just stopped talking. So whenever somebody mentioned it to me, I said, you know what? I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything mm-hmm. to say. And they're kind of looking like, oh, she don't have. No, because it doesn't matter what I say. You still want to believe the negative thing because that's going to, you know, have you talking about me and in the drama, and that's the new tea for the week. So it wasn't worth it for me anymore. Like, it was hard. Like, it was heartbreaking. I was very sad because I'm like, oh, my God, why would people think I did something like that? But, again, some of these people were my friends, like, that I had known for years, and I was just like, wow. But, like you said, I'm done. I'm not going to explain myself. I don't have to explain to you what happened. You weren't there. It's not your business. I just feel like people prefer to believe the bad in you. Like, I was listening to something the other day, and they were talking about Sierra and her husband, and, like, they have this whole group of men that are like, yeah, she's going to play him, and you know, she ain't this and that. And so people are actually upset because their marriage isn't what people wanted it to be. Like, because she was with mm-hmm. Future. Not that I listened to the music, but they was like, that's like the, if Level Up was a person, it would be her. Because she leveled up to this man of God that was looking for her. But I have been reading so many articles, and you have these men, they're like, she's going to play him. She's this, she's that. Because she used to be with this rapper. I don't know, it just made me think about it, like, why do people want the worst in you to come up? Why do they want to believe the negative stuff? Why do they want to just talk about the negative? Why can't people just see the good? Like, wow, that's an amazing situation, you know, it's a blessing from God, and keep it moving. No, no one is perfect, but people are literally out here trying to just make people seem like they're a wolf in sheep's clothing. Like, well, yeah, she playing him, you know. I don't know why those were the two things that I thought about the most as far as, like, defending yourself and mm-hmm, having to defend mm-hmm. who you are, who you know you are. And most of the time you would be defending yourself to people who are not going to believe the truth anyway. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to believe the truth because they prefer to be on the negative side, and they prefer to show you in a negative light. And most of the time, I feel like it's a reflection of them. Well, because you have a bad time in relationships and bad luck in relationships, or because you're jealous of this person, you have to find some fault in them. And it's like, I'm not going to take my time to explain it to you because it doesn't matter. You're going to believe what you believe because it'll help you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That'll make you feel better about yourself.
Exactly. And that's usually what they're dealing with anyway. Barbara, I would love to hear your take on it.
Yeah. As soon as you said the topic, it took me back to when we first moved here. Back in 2000, the church that we were going to, New Birth, Pastor Kearney was the associate pastor at the time. And he said something that was so powerful that it just stayed with me forever. He said, don't spend the time and energy defending a lie. Just live the truth. And that just, something just resonated so strong. And I was like, you know, that says it all right there. When you embrace and love who you are, it really doesn't matter what other people think. It really doesn't matter, as long as you know you're doing right by God. Because in the process of doing right by God, you're going to do right by other people.
Right.
And if that's something that they're conflicted with, don't internalize it. And I had to learn a long time ago, don't internalize how people interpret you, how they think of you. The only time I feel like you have to go through this persuasion of trying to get somebody to understand anything is your spouse, if there's some misunderstanding. You know, if there's something that's a glitch with or a breakdown in communication with your friends or siblings, and it's somebody who you honestly love and care about, those are the times that I ever would consider putting the effort and the time into speaking in defense.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's insignificant. But, yeah, and also growing up, high school, middle school, high school, oh, gosh, Fatina, you know how it was.
Yes.
It was so... The thing that was so frustrating, and, you know, a lot of people remembered me for fighting and not backing down from guys. And a lot of times it was because they would do inappropriate things, like in the hallway, you know, they young, stupid guys, they have the tendency to walk by and pop you on the butt.
Feel
and
you
never know who does it. Exactly. And they thought that was so, I don't know, they got some kick out of that. And because I didn't hang around a lot of females, there was always drama, and I couldn't stand it. I was cool with a lot of guys. But unfortunately, because I was, then people had the perceived notion that, you know, I was somebody who would interfere with relationships, that I was promiscuous and sleeping with all kind of people. And back then, guys, it was a lie, you know, and, you know, it was just big painted perception. And you get to the point. It wasn't until someone, I didn't even realize that it was on the level that it was until someone kind of threw it out to me as if, oh, yeah, you were fast. And I was like, wow, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I know that's not something that was true. I know something about the reality of what was taking place during that time. So you know what, that's not something that you ever have to defend to anybody. And I guess I learned that then. I just flat out did not care, you know. But, you know, that's just one of those examples of people saying things about you because, like you said, Roxanne, some people want to believe wrong in you for so many reasons. And I pray that what we're going through right now, that there's a new sense of unity and harmony so that we as a people, black people especially with this Black Lives Matter, we as a people don't have to feel like now we got to defend ourselves to the world.
Right.
You know, there's more awareness now. And there are some people who are more receptive to understanding who we are and where our hurt comes from, where our behavior comes from and our reactions. So, you know, I pray that we get to that day where we don't have to defend anything about ourselves. It'll just be evident in who we are, how we walk, what we do, and our integrity will speak for itself. And that, to me, you know, you say more, say less, do more, that will always speak for itself. Your actions will speak for you without you saying a word, so you won't have to defend anything.
That's very true. You know, I was listening to both of you all speak, and I have to, Roxanne, my thing is always this, you know, collectively, you know, people are going to say what they want to say. They're going to think what they want to think. They're going to believe what they want to believe, and they're going to do what they want to do. It doesn't matter what you try to, what you say, what you do, or it doesn't matter. You're right. People will always want to see the negative. And that's not a reflection of you. That's a reflection of them. I always tell people, my brother used to tell me, when people come to you with stuff, look at your resources. Why? And that's how I am. When people come to me with stuff, and when I say stuff, I shut down gossip really quick. You know, when you're coming to me, especially office gossip, I will shut it down really quick. First of all, I'm looking at your resources. Where that coming from? Now, if you talk about me, then I know you. I mean, if you're talking to me, then I know you're talking about me, number one. And two, you mean to tell me you don't have nothing better to do with your life? Because I know the office that I work in, you need to be focused on meeting your goal for the month, like I am. So I'm going to just say something totally caught off guard. So if you come to me with something, I'll be like, did you know that the moon is made out of cheese? I'll come out with something far out of left field. Like, what did I got to do with anything? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But if it's going to cause to get off the course, because I can't get involved with that, because the first thing they say, well, you know, Fatina ain't say nothing. Fatina ain't say nothing. Well, Tina, how do you feel about it? You know what I've learned? And what is his name? Pastor Frederick. He's from Mount's Corner, but he has a big church in Charlotte, if I'm not mistaken. He said, well, what do you feel about that? I don't have any thoughts on that. I love it. Absolutely love it. Because I know if you're talking to me, then I know you're talking about me. You know, and I found myself even as an adult. And yeah, I could even say, you know, even in my 40s, trying to prove to be that I'm not what people make me out to be, all because of misunderstanding. I mean, who hasn't been lied on? Who hasn't been falsely accused? Who hasn't been, you know, been in that situation before? But I remember I've been at my job for almost, it'll be 3 years next month. And when I came in there, with the scarlet letter on me, because who brought me in there, you know? So I didn't have a fair chance in the beginning. You know, so it was always something. I was just like, I don't even know these people, but I'm here to do a job. I'm here about my money, and I'm going to stay about my money. So next thing I know, my name was always being put in stuff, but I never defended. Next thing you know, I was always in some situation where someone said this or whatever. But, you know, the thing about it is you never came and talked to me. I'm the source. So when you didn't feel the need to come and talk to me, you're just going to believe what everyone says, because I'm one of those people, you get all the liars in the room and the truth will come out. And if you don't want to come to me with that, then we don't have a conversation. And I think the worst of it is when my boss brought me in the office and said, I heard. That was the worst thing he could have said to me. I said, what? And if you all know me, y'all know my face, right? You know, I don't have to say nothing because my face says it all. Don't you ever come to me about, I heard, you heard. You heard. Mm-hmm. Don't you ever come to me as a professional and tell me what you heard. If you're not going to get all of us in here together, we don't have a conversation. Okay. Do you have a problem with my numbers? Do we have a problem with some? Is there a complaint? We don't have a conversation. If you're not getting all of us together to have a conversation, we have no conversation. Mm-hmm. And if you want to believe, and then I had a person that actually lied on me, and what's worse is they believed it. My manager believed it.
Wow.
And I lost the promotion behind it.
Oh, man.
And I said, wow. And I said to myself, okay, Tina, you just gonna have to. And I had several occasions like that. Now, granted, we all go through stuff like that, and time has changed and stuff, because truth of the matter is, I can't ask for a better manager, because we all have our faults. But when it's all said and done, I can't say, he has not been there, because when I go through he knows what I go through with my hospital and stuff like that, and always there. So, it weighs out. But I'm like, the only thing that I could do and the only thing I had to do was let my character speak for myself. And as a result of letting my character speak for myself, that's why I'm still employed. So it didn't matter that they falsely accused me or put, misconceptions about me or whatever. I knew that God was like, shut your mouth now. I need you to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You just go ahead and do what you're supposed to do. You maintain your integrity and stuff. You don't worry about all that other stuff that's going on. I got this. And
that's
I learned when I let him do it, because the thing that came in my head, I'll never forget it. I don't have nothing to prove with nobody in here. Except why not? If you want to do something, let it show through your numbers. And that's what I would encourage anyone that's listening tonight. You don't have to prove anything. If you want to do something, let it show through your performance. If it's your work, let it show through your performance. If it's non-work related, let it show through your character. One of my classmates had something on her Facebook page one time that says, character is best kept than recovered. Now, I didn't say it could not be recovered. It's just more work to be recovered.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a testament of that, because my character had to be recovered. So it can. I don't want you to say that. I don't want you to ever think that it cannot. Yes, it can. Because when you allow God to come in, when he delivers you, you won't even look like what you went. You won't even look like what he delivered you from. You won't even look like it.
Wow.
At all.
Tina, you know what?
So,
I thought about something. Can you hear me?
I hear you. Go ahead, girl.
Oh, Lord, I'm dropping stuff. Sorry. I thought about something that my pastor said one time, and we were talking about, people creating lies about you. And one of the things he told us to do, which I try to do from time to time, I call it a self-check, because we know nobody's perfect. But the way that he's a counselor, like, full-time. So he's always thinking about the psyche and that type of stuff. So he said, Miss Barbara was talking about, like, your spouse and people close to you. And he said, go to those people and ask them, how are you experiencing me? And so people are like, what? How are you experiencing me? And he said, so example, like, and I actually had a moment where I could relate this to my daughter, because she said, this person at school said this and this person said that. So I said, okay, take a couple steps back and evaluate what is going on. Did you do something to make them think that? Or is it strictly they're jealous? So it was like a self-evaluation. Those girls, they really were jealous. But I remember going to different people saying, how are you experiencing me? And they were like, what? And because I wanted to know. I know me, but a lot of times we have ways about us that is really not, I'm going to say sometimes it's not nice or it offends somebody. We might not think it's offensive, but just to get a perspective, that don't mean I want everybody's opinion. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm talking about the people close to me, my kids, like, and I started building this thing where I would talk to people and ask them, you know, how are you experiencing me? Like, what does it feel like, you know, when I'm talking to you or when we have some, you know, I want to know, do you think I'm pushy? Do I appear bossy? Like, and I always tell people, like, I'm not going to ask you a question if I do not want to hear the truth. I want you to be honest with me and tell me the truth. How are you experiencing Roxanne as a person in your life? And I feel that if it's like that, it's okay. But that other stuff, like, that's a different story. But I do feel like whether it's at work and there's somebody we work with closely, sometimes you're going to have people that you're just not going to be able to get along with, whether it's work or your own family. But to get an idea of how are people experiencing you as a child of God, as a person who you are, and you don't have to say I'm a child of God. You don't have to say that. How are you experiencing me as a person? And I think that thing was so deep. I was like, wow, how are you experiencing me?
I like that.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I like that.
You got to do a self-check because you might be in your mood and to you it ain't nothing wrong. You just like, well, no, I'm just direct. Well, not really, sugar. You're direct is actually rude. Like, you know what I'm saying? You haven't seen it that way, but just dealing with the people that have to deal with you all the time. But the flip side of that is what other people think about me is none of my business. But to me, that's a different level. That's like, you know, somebody that see me at the grocery store every couple of days or something like that. But the people that are close to you, you know, this person here who you used to work with back in the day, for some reason she don't like you. Okay, whatever. But the people that are tangible, close to you, that you have a connection with on a daily basis or just on a routine basis, you need to know how they're experiencing you as a person. So in all of this, you can still do a self-check to say, okay, is there any truth behind what they're saying? Because that's really what you're doing. Is there any truth behind, okay, they say I'm a hoe. What? Why do they think that? One, I get along with guys better than I get along with girls. So then you start evaluating. No, they're just jealous because at least a couple of the guys that I get along with, that I'm friends with, they want to be with, and they don't like them like that. So, it's a jealousy thing. So that's what I'm saying, like just doing a self-evaluation. But, again, the people closest to you, definitely you wanting to know how they experience you just so you could check yourself. You know what I mean?
I really do. Yes.
You know,
go ahead, Barbara.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Barbara.
It's key that when you do that and you have that level of intimacy with the people that you're referring to, is that you have a healthy relationship with them, so that somebody that will be honest and transparent with you, because even though sometimes some people are close to you and they are tangible,
they're living in their own denial, right?
And there are people sometimes that won't accept responsibility and accountability and project or deflect a lot of things. So it's important. I think they're the best candidates to give you that evaluation, but make sure that whatever you have with them is something that's healthy, and you know you have that kind of relationship.
Exactly.
You can do that with each other. I've learned, don't ask my husband too many things, because, girl, he gave me the rock bottom hard truth, hitting face up off the floor.
I don't like Roxanne. I don't ask any questions I can't handle the answer to. If I ask you, I want it. And, you know, he's like, well, you know, some people, I am not some people. If I ask, because chances are I already know the answer to the question. All I want is that confirmation. That's it. You know, I said, but I already know the answer to the question. I need you to be honest with me. And I find that some people won't be honest. They won't tell you. Direct person, and those who know me knows that I'm very direct. Now, for a couple of things. People said to me, Gina, aggressive but not abrasive. That still sticks in my head to this day. And then I remember a friend of mine said, Gina, when you agree with people, you're good. But when you disagree, he said, you rip people to shreds and you need to learn tact. And he was right. I did. I always had the attitude of, I was brutally honest. They said, yes, you're brutally honest. I said, yes, but I'm honest. And then I realized everybody are not acceptable or can receive my directness. Yeah. Some people take directness as being rude, being cocky, or whatever. No, it's just, that's just how I feel. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, I told you what I meant by that. I said what I meant, and that's it. There is no ulterior motive. There's no whatever. But what I've learned is sometimes you got to break things down to some person's level to bring them back up to yours. Not saying I'm better. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is sometimes you got to fall back a little bit to try to get them to understand. Or, like, for instance, I remember my brother told me, Gina, when it comes to men, most of the time when we make a mistake, we know we made a mistake. You don't have to criticize us or put us down. Just let us make our mistakes and just be there, you know, and then eventually we'll come around. I say, because back in the day, I'd be like, that's just dumb. I mean, that was just really dumb. What was you thinking? I'll rip you to shreds. But I understand it now. And that's not just what, you know, I've learned that, period. But I've learned how to just fall back. I was talking to a business partner of mine. He's a male. And I said, listen, as men, you know, we're coaching each other on our new business. And I said, listen, what I've learned, especially in Southern men, you know, or men, period, that you have to learn how to coach men because you have to make it seem like it's their idea. And even though, you know, they'll eventually come back around, but you got to let them do it as their idea. So when it's all said and done, when I told you, you might want to use a cane to get across the street, and then, you know, I know you're not going to receive it. You know, I may have mentioned it, and then I'll let you go through your whatever just for you to come back and tell me later, you know what, I think you should use a cane across the street. And you know how I'm going to respond to that now? You know what, I think that's a good idea. And leave it alone. You know, because I just want the bottom line objective. That's what I want. I want the bottom line objective. It's not a matter of, for me before, it was having that control, you know. And that's what I've learned when it comes to myself. Or some things you just don't have to sit there and prove. You know, Dr. Charles Jackson from Brooklyn Baptist Church in Columbia, South Carolina. I don't know if he still does, but he used to do the revival for Royal Baptist Church back in the day. And I remember him giving a sermon saying that you can't be living beneath your blessings, trying to make, and, you know, downplaying yourself, trying to make insecure folks feel secure about themselves. I said, if he ain't talking to me, I said, Lord, you got my attention now. But I'll never forget that. We always downplaying our blessings, trying to make insecure folks feel secure about themselves. And so my attitude now is, I'm done. I don't have to prove nothing to nobody but the Lord Jesus. And the next and last time I checked, the stairway to heaven is not through somebody's back door or backyard. So I'm just going to continue to live in my truth. And any accusations and stuff, now if you want to come and have a conversation, let's come and have a conversation. But just know, if you come to me with other people and hearsay, you better make sure you have all the key players involved. Let's have that conversation. Because if you're not coming with that, we don't have a conversation. Friends, you know, and it's in my job, you know, everything is recorded. If you're not playing that recording and I can't hear what they say, that's hearsay. We don't have a conversation. Everything is recorded. I need to hear that recording. If I can't hear that recording, we don't have a conversation.
Tina,
we don't have a conversation.
Money.
You're
talking
serious.
About your job. I had a situation where I actually prayed about it. I had to have a meeting, and the Holy Spirit told me that two people in particular, he didn't really say the name, but he said at least two people has told this woman something negative about you. Now, he didn't know me from a can of paint, but that allowed me to pray about this meeting that I went into. And I remember the moment she said, I don't really know you. And I said, oh, here come. I was waiting for it. she said, I was like, Lord, I thank you, because my reaction normally, like another time I had a meeting with a person much higher than her, and I remember being so hurt and crying in my car. And I was like, Lord, you know what? I am never going to let anybody hurt my feelings like that again. So I was always prepared after that point. So when she said, you know, I don't know you, but I've been told, so, you know, I'm listening. I'm like, here it goes, Jesus. I'm ready for this. And she said, you're amazing with the students. You know, you're very caring. You go above and beyond. But amongst your coworkers, you can be difficult to work with. So I said, And then she goes, well, I can tell. I said, no. I'm an honest person. And I'm going to let you know. I said, because no one is perfect. I said, but I can guarantee you that those people that feel that I'm difficult to work with, I feel the exact same way about them. She wasn't expecting that. She was like, oh, that's understandable. Right, because my point was, you just said you don't really know me. So just because those two people told you I'm difficult to work with, why does that make what they say over what I say more? I feel they're difficult to work with too. So, but that was all I said. And the really ironic thing or funny thing, one of the people that said it about me was in the meeting with us. They weren't talking. They were sitting to the right of me. She was to my left. I saw his whole face turn red when I said that. That let me know right there. But just having people say things about you, like I look at how I'm treated at work. I look at how the students react to me at work. I look at how the faculty and the staff react to me at work. And that gives me my answer. Like, yeah, there's some of y'all that's like, I don't really like her. Why don't you like me? Because I'm direct, one. Two, I believe in chain of command. Like, you're not going to come up in here calling me, you know, whatever. If you come in my office, I need you to say good morning, good afternoon. You're going to do greetings and salutations, and then you can go into can you do da-da-da-da. But you're not going to walk in here because that's just how I am. When I see you, I'm going to say good morning, how are you? If that makes me difficult to work with, then you're going to have a hard time, because even if I don't like you, I am still going to say good morning, how you doing? Even if I have to get something from you, you have to get something from me. But just because you think I'm difficult to work with doesn't make what you got to say the end-all, be-all. You know what I'm saying? I think you're difficult to work with too. Now what? We both feel that each other is difficult to work with. Now, let's keep it moving.
Exactly. Exactly. You always have to consider the source. You're so true about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, okay, those are your friends. So, of course, you're probably going to believe them over me. But my rebuttal, that's all I said back to her. I said, I'm pretty sure I feel the same way about them. I was like, thank you, hallelujah, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit preparing me for this meeting. Because I really, honestly, had I not prepared the way that I did, I probably would have gone in the car and been a little upset. I might have cried a little bit just because I would have been that angry. But because I know the people who she was talking about, and the Holy Spirit said, but you already know that they said something. You've been knew that, because that's how they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know. I didn't know that she was going to bring it up in the meeting until the Holy Spirit said, be prepared. She's going to bring this up because she didn't know me from a can of paint. So for you to say, I don't really know you, but I've been told. Okay, let me hear what you've been told.
I heard.
Right, you know.
What had happened was.
Right.
You know.
Somebody spilled the tea on you. No, honey, I ain't had no tea to begin with, but okay, I'll let y'all have your little moment.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go back to something that you said, Bettina, that just, I mean, this is so true. of us as women, especially when you're strong, when you're intelligent. A lot of people, they're easily intimidated by that, men and women, and they have, you know, feel a certain kind of way about you, but you said it so perfectly. You know, you can't, my grandma used to say, don't dumb yourself down for no man. You know, shine and be exactly who you are. If someone is insecure with how you maneuver, then that's not your fault. That's not your fault. As long as you're being respectful, you're not being rude or nasty to anybody, we can't turn off the bright light that we have, and especially for young girls now, because a lot of these guys think, you know, they want a sugar mama, want women to take care of them now. So, you know, it's like, no, you need to understand, this is who I am. You have to equally add to what we have to make it special, and I am not going to compromise or you know, diminish what's good or strong or intelligent about me, just so you can feel good. I think we need to just make sure that our young women nowadays know that for real.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you on that.
Especially with our women coming up. And let me just piggyback off of the men. I mean, they're absolutely comfortable with a woman taking care of you. Now, I can go into many reasons why. The main thing that comes up is we have a lot of single mothers. Now, I'm not going to say that's a result of all single mothers, but because I've seen some single mothers who produce really, and I'm not saying they're all bad or anything like that. It's just a matter of teaching. But those mothers that take away their children's voices, that's a subject for another day.
Yeah.
But that's where you get that, those men who want a woman to take care of them. That's one of the reasons. Now, you just got some just sorry men out there who are comfortable with women taking care of them. It's not as... I'm still trying to fathom that. I do not, I can't say it's just here in Atlanta. It's in South Carolina. It's all over.
Everywhere.
It's all over, you know. But as a subject, I'm going to be bringing up, and not in the near, and probably before this month of August, but it's out, because it's really an epidemic. We really need to talk about it, because I'm a mother of a I'm a single mother, and I had to realize that about that. So I'm looking forward to talking about that more. Roxanne, you definitely be on that one, because I think you know more than anybody, and so do you, Barbara, now that I think about it, about raising kids by yourselves, ourselves, and then when you go back into, you know, if you get remarried or whatever the case may be, but why our young men? Going back to our women, real quick before I wrap up the show, we do have to educate our young women about who we are and whose we are, okay? One, learning how to take care of yourself and stop depending on man to do it. Number one, self-sufficiency. And that self-sufficiency comes from self-worth, knowing who you are and whose you are.
Right.
That is so very important. So very, and you know, self-respect. Because a person is only going to treat you the way you allow them to treat you.
Exactly.
You have to know that, no, I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. And it's and I'm not going to say, for some people, just depending on what you've gone through, you know, I'm a survivor of abuse. Some of you all can relate to that. You know, that was a process for me to get through it. I'm not going to say it was an overnight process. Rome was not built in a day, so it sure ain't going to, you know, be repaired. I mean, it's a process we all go through, but it starts with that initial decision, or it gets it to that point where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and realize, I deserve better than this. So I just want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. Oh, my gosh. I just love having my girls on the line, Roxanne, and also Miss Barbara. You know, those, I love you all. Thank you all for tuning in. We're not done yet, but I just need to start ending the show. And for those of you that are listening, I thank you because I have a lot of people that tune in, and they're tuning by way of internet. And I just thank you for continuing to tune in to the show from Haiti, from Barbados, from Philippines, from Guyana, from South America, Guyana, also from Africa, of course, the United States, and also Canada. Thank you so much, so much. And if you know someone who could be blessed by this show, please, by all means, spread the word because we love having you here. If you're interested in, you know, future shows, you're more than welcome to tune in. www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. I normally don't ask this, but my son and everybody tell me I need to encourage this. So if you're on my page, please follow the page. Also, you can reach out to me on Facebook. But you can actually go on to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. We do have a Facebook page and also have a Twitter page as well. So you can reach out on many, many, many platforms. Also, if you want to reach me by email, you may do so by emailing me at caofwoman@gmail.com. That's caofwoman@gmail.com. I do have some exciting news that will be coming up soon. I can't wait to share it. I do want to let you know that the one year anniversary of Chronicles is coming up. August 11th is when I believe I did my first show. I am so excited. So I am thinking about what I want to do about my 1 year anniversary. So I'm very excited, but I couldn't have done it without you all, but most of all through God, because he gave me the vision years ago in 2009. And then, setting up the show with Blog Talking 11, and then actually airing the show in August 11th of 2019. And it's just been one awesome, phenomenal experience. And the ministry is growing, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm actually merchandising soon, so I'm looking forward to that. But you can check me out on my Facebook page. I'll be putting that out in a second soon. But I'm getting into quite a few things. I'm looking forward to the website coming up, and I think I have something else coming up, but I don't remember what it is. But just know that the Chronicles is definitely growing. It is definitely growing, and I'm looking forward to it, and we'll be doing live shows. I'm very excited about that. I have a couple that's being scheduled in South Carolina. That's actually where I grew up in. And I'm very, very excited about it. So if you are interested in having live shows set up, just contact me at caofwoman@gmail.com. And if you know of anyone that would be interested, I do speaking engagements as well. So it is always a pleasure being here tonight. And if you don't go away with nothing else tonight, just remember, it doesn't matter what people say, what people think, or what people do. You have to know who you are and whose you are. Self-worth goes such a long way. Self-esteem, self-control of oneself. You don't have to become whatever people think about you. That's their problem. That is their business. That is not your business. Your truth will always show and reveal who you are, and you don't have to prove anything to anyone. You just continue to be who you are, and God will do the rest. This is Fatina Kirknall with Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night.